Hey everybody, this is Randall. I'm just giving a quick message before the podcast starts. I just wanted to let you know I'm going to be using a new service to track the download numbers and RSS feeds and that called PodTrack. It shouldn't make any difference to you as how you're getting the podcast. It should still show up in your feeds like normal. But I'm hoping that this will give us new information that will help me for planning purposes. I also talk about this at the end of the podcast, but I got the... I think I got the name of it wrong at the time, so it's called PodTrack. There's going to be a link on the site near the bottom of the site where we have all the links for getting the podcast from various locations in our social media. This link is going to be for a survey that they asked that we include on our website to help with demographics and that kind of thing. So if you could go through and fill out the survey, that would be great, and it'll help us out a lot. But anyways, let's get on with the show. Welcome back to the Board Game Battles Podcast. I'm your host, Randall, and with me are my co-hosts, Jeff and Drew.
Hello.
Hello.
It's episode 28, and today we're going to be discussing two games that have you building up your character and then potentially pitting them against various monsters. We'll be comparing Lost Legends versus Role Player. And then after our matchup, since it's the December episode that's being released... we'll discuss games that are maybe good Christmas ideas. Hopefully we'll get some on your list that are maybe not the standard fare that you'll usually hear about or discover in some of the big shops. But maybe we'll give you something to think about that people can enjoy. But let's get into it. The first game we're going to be talking about is Lost Legends. It was released in 2013, designed by Mike Elliott. He's been designing a long time. I went back through his BGG list, and since 1993, he's been designing. A lot of this stuff is stuff that hasn't fallen under my radar. He seems to have done a lot of trading card games at some point. There's like a Harry Potter trading card game he's involved with, Simpsons, Neopets. Nah, I never even saw any of these. But I'm not big in the trading card game circuit, so it doesn't surprise me that it's never come across it. A few games like Sword and Skull, Hecatomb. So up until 2006, up until 2009, he's done a lot of games that just really I'd never seen before, but he's been pretty busy. But then when he hit 2009, that's when he sort of falls onto my radar. He's the one who designed Thunderstone, which is another sort of a card draft, not card drafting, but
deck builder.
Okay. That's the word. Jesus Christ. Thunderstone was a fantasy deck builder. Thunderstone was a fantasy deck builder that came out in 2009 that was fairly well received, and he's done quite a few expansions for it and a couple of different versions of it throughout his career. Then he did one called Star Trek Fleet Captains in 2011. He designed Quarriors, which we've talked about before on this show. Which came out in 2011. He also did the Dice Masters, all the various Dice Masters versions, which we've talked about as well. He did this Lost Legends in 2013. And then since then, it's been mostly Dice Masters, but there's been a few other things, like he revised Thunderstone a few times. There was Thunderstone Advance. And then the latest was Thunderstone Quest, which came out in 2018. But that one's a bit harder to find. It was more of a Kickstarter game, and I think it's been a bit difficult to find in retailers. And apparently he's also involved in the Alhambra Designers Edition Mega Box, which is coming out in 2019. I'm not sure what he's doing for that. Maybe he's designing a few new versions of Alhambra. I'm not sure, but that's what he's doing there. But he's been a pretty prolific designer throughout his career. Artists for Lost Legends, Mark Fielder, Falk Hansel, Oliver Schlemmer, Klaus Stefan, published by Queen Games and Arclight, and that's how I got it through, was a Queen Games Kickstarter that they did. That's how I got this game. Categories it falls under: fantasy and fighting, mechanisms, card drafting, and the BGG rating of 6.5 out of 1.2 thousand ratings, and a weight of 2.46 out of 5. Looking at the rule book, it's a pretty standard Queen Games rule book. So Queen Games, they do nice rule books. They look nice. They're very colorful, a lot of diagrams in them. I think it was a little bit lacking sometimes, trying to find how certain things worked or trying to find things in the rule book. It could have been laid out a bit better. There's no real index or contents, you know, table of contents at the beginning. So if you're looking for something, you have to flip through it, and then you're looking at each section trying to figure out the answer to your question. Not like, once you know the game, not that there's a lot of questions you might have, but I do remember a couple times just trying to find how certain wording worked on some cards in this game. But otherwise, you know, it's a nice rule book, and it's done fairly well. And then they also give you a nice little reference sheet for some of the cards. And if you can't find something in the rule book, like an explanation in the rule book, if you look at the card reference sheet, even if you don't find the specific card you're looking for, there'll be cards that might be similar to the card you're wondering about that might give you the explanation you need. Which, so that could have been done better, but with this reference sheet, it sort of will help. So it's sort of something you have to keep your eye on. So that's the rule book. Components, it's mostly cards. There are some cardboard bits. Everybody has a player board. There are some chits for damage, for gold, that kind of thing. And crystals, but mostly you have your own little cardboard playing board and cards. Fairly good quality on everything. Like the cardboard was good. The cards were nice. I don't sleeve most of my stuff, so we've only played it a few times. The cards have held up fine just for a few plays. I'm sure with more plays, it'd probably start to show a bit of wear, but they're not that bad. They're fairly good quality cards. They don't feel cheap. Now, rules, how the game plays. Just briefly, everybody has a character. Each character is a little different. There's like a ranger character, a fighter, a wizard type, a thief type. There's also a what they call a demon hunter, which was sort of an add-on. So there's a couple of little add-ons that I had that you can get, I think, through the BGG store. But each one's, the boards are essentially the same. They have a point track, which is also how you it's like your point/experience track. And as you go up on that track, you'll gain new abilities, like upgrades either to your hit points, your mana points, or something else. There's a mana track, which is used for certain items that you might get for sort of like spells or whatever. And then there's a hit point track for keeping track of your hit points. They'll tell you how much gold you'll start with. Everybody starts with a different amount of gold, usually. There might be some that are similar, but if you start with more gold, then it tends to be that you're lacking something elsewhere on the board, like hit points or whatever. If you have less gold, you might be higher in hit points, that kind of thing. But that's essentially how the game is laid out. Along the sides of each player board are places for cards. You have different locations where you can store cards. There'll be like your armor location for storing different pieces of armor. Each location can only hold 3 cards each. There's a weapon location for holding different weapons. Again, you might be limited to the type of weapon, I think. Maybe not. No, I think you are. Well, there's like melee, there's staves, and there's bows. And I don't know if you can have multiples of the other ones. It might be that you can only have one of each type of weapon, but I could be wrong. Well, I'd have to double check that. But
and the rule book's hard to find the answer to.
So. And the rule book's hard to find the answer to, so I'm not going to look in there. But
I seem to recall if you bought a sword, like if you upgraded your sword at level 2, you replaced the previous melee
weapon. You do replace the melee, yeah.
So you could have you could have 3 items. One was the staff, one was a ranged weapon, and one was a melee weapon.
That's right. There's a little location for skills, and each character starts with 1 or 2 little skill icons. And it's right by the weapon area, so it's in the top left corner of the board. And basically, all cards have multiple functions. And so you can tuck cards up there to represent skills that you have. In the top right corner is an area for trophies. So whenever you defeat a monster, You take that monster and stick it in that area upside down, and it has a little symbol for the trophy that you have for defeating it. And on the right side of the board are places for magic, so like spells or books, magic spells or books. And in the bottom right is where you have artifacts. And artifacts are, they could be rings, they could be special kind of books, I guess. I'm not sure, but there's a few different types of things that are artifacts that go down in that bottom corner. So you basically, it's a card drafting game. You're going around, you're getting cards each round, and there's three different rounds, levels/rounds, that you'll be drafting cards. And after the draft, you fight monsters. There's a deck of monsters for each level in the middle of the board. Whoever, depending on who the start player is, they will grab, there's a face-up monster, and they'll be face, you know, the rest of their deck is face down. They can choose, if you're up, you can choose to grab the face-up monster and take it on, or you can choose to grab a face-down monster and take your chances. You have a chance to pass a monster. So if a monster comes to you, either because the monster's charged you, which they can do depending on when the monster gets flipped, if somebody meets the conditions that it will charge that person, it'll come right to you. But if you start the round with a monster, you could either take on that monster in front of you, or pass it to the person to your left. Yeah. I think it's left or right.
I'm trying to remember which one it was.
You pass it one of the ways. It doesn't really matter. You're passing the monster to the first available person that has no monster in front of them.
It was right, because that one time I passed you something that killed you.
Right away. That's right.
And you were on my right. So.
Yep. So you're passing to the right. If everybody has a monster in front of them, you can't pass. So you have to deal with the monster you have. Combat in this game takes over a few turns. You fight the monster, do damage to it, it'll do damage to you, and then if you haven't defeated it, it goes on to the next person. The next person deals with their monster, and this goes on until either you defeated your monster or your monster's defeated you. If you defeat your monster, you get to keep it as a trophy. If it defeats you, it runs away, and you're out of the remainder of that combat until the next level happens. If you've defeated your monster, another monster will come, so you can defeat multiple monsters in a round. And essentially, that's it. I think you'll get gold. Yeah, when you defeat golden a monster, experience. Yeah, you get golden experience for defeating monsters. You won't get all the gold on a monster. You sort of split the gold up with people beside you. So if a monster gives you only one gold, then you get all that. You just get that one gold. But if it, say, gives out three gold, you'll get one. The person to your right will get one. Then the person to your left will get one. And then if there was any left over after that, then you'd get another if you could. So that's how gold. So there's a bit of a distribution system with the gold. You don't get it all. I think that's more of a balancing mechanic, because some people can get like knocked out early, and then they won't have enough gold in the next round to try to upgrade their equipment.
But even with that.
You still
don't get enough. There need to be a little
You may not get enough. Yeah, it's hard to say. You do this for three levels. So each level, the equipment gets better and the monsters get harder. And at the end, it's whoever's progressed the farthest along on their experience track is the winner. So that's how you play Lost Legends. Now we'll go on to Role Player. It was released in 2016. We were playing with the Monsters and Minions expansion, which came out in 2018. The designer is Keith Mateka. It's hard. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name. Matejka? I'm not sure. He hasn't done a lot. Most of his stuff has been Role Player. In 2015, he did something called Bullfrogs. He's done a few other little games, Herbaceous, Sunset Over Water, and something called Skulk Hollow. And in 2019, I think he has some things called Role Player Adventures, which are coming out in the Role Player universe. They won't require Role Player to play. They're sort of adventures that you can import characters that you've created in Role Player into to use, but you don't have to have them. Artists for Role Player, JJ Ariosa and Luis Francisco. Publishers, Thunderworks Games, Banana Games, Gen X Games, Mandu Games, Ogre Games, Pegasus Spiel, Raven Distribution, Rex Re. So a lot that I haven't heard of. I've heard of a few of those, but most of those I haven't, so they must be for various regions. Categories, Dice and Fantasy. Mechanisms, Card Drafting, Roll, Dice Rolling, Set Collection, and Variable Player Powers. BGG Rating, 7.5 out of 5,400 ratings. Monsters and Minions doesn't have as many ratings. It has an 8.2 out of 865 for the expansion. And
so card drafting. What part? I don't remember card drafting in this. Has it just been too long since we last played?
Yeah, not really drafting.
Yeah, yeah. It's when we go through the rules, I don't see there's a marketplace and there's no real drafting.
No. I guess there's like your role, your race.
Yeah,
but like you don't draft them.
Yeah. Well.
Well, I guess you get it randomly.
We did it randomly. I don't think there's a real drafting mechanism here.
No.
Yeah. I'm not sure where they get card drafting from either. And then the way they rate the main game at 2.36 out of 5, and then the expansion's rated at 2.53 out of 5. So it adds a little bit of complexity to it. Rulebook, pretty good rule books. There are two different rule books because once you get the expansion, it does change the main game in a few ways. So you, if you're playing with the expansion, it's recommended you definitely keep track of the rule book because you'll need it. Again, and you know, I never really noticed this before, but a lot of rule books don't have chapters or indices, and it's something that maybe they could use. This one's maybe not so bad. It's not a huge rule book, so you know, having to go through it and try to find something isn't too bad. Not that we had to really reference the rule book too much. It's a fairly straightforward game.
Yeah.
So things didn't really come up where should we be doing this or this? Like, no, we didn't really have too much of that. So it's not bad.
Yeah, it was more straightforward than Lost Legends.
Yeah, it was. And then the Monsters and Minions adds in some extra stuff to the game, which is mostly obviously the monsters. Without the Monsters and Minions, the game is mostly about creating a character. The Monsters and Minions gives you the opportunity each round to defeat minions. And at the end of the very end of the game, you compare yourself against the main monster and see if you can defeat it. And the combat's a lot more basic in this game, so it's not like you're doing a huge battle and taking a lot of damage or anything. Each monster or minion card has a range where you'll roll some dice, and your total on the dice, as long as they meet certain levels, will tell you if you defeat the monster or not, if you'll take any damage, or if you'll get any trophies out of defeating the monster. So it's not like it's a huge amount of thing. It's just mostly a dice roll. You'll get bonus dice based on various things. But that's what the Monsters and Minions does. It just gives you a little bit extra things to do during your turn and at the end of the game for getting points.
And that was instead of visiting the marketplace, right?
During the market phase.
So it added something if you couldn't get anything from the market.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's where they're thinking card drafting comes in, is when you're purchasing stuff from the list on the market.
I guess.
But that's still not drafting. It's still not drafting.
Components, again, it's a lot of cards, but there are also, everyone has a player board, so everyone gets a cardboard player board. There's a fairly good selection of races that come in this game, and then there's a few, I think, extras. There was some extras that came with the Monsters and Minions, and then there was also, I had a bonus one that was like sort of a promo or whatever you call it, some frog race. But each race has two sides on the board. There's no difference in the sides other than male, female. But that's it. So each board, you get these fairly nice cardboard player boards. There's a lot of different holes in the board for dice. So for building out your character stats, if you play Dungeons and Dragons, it'll be very familiar because you have the six main attributes and you're trying to get your stats to a certain number level, usually in the higher, you know, the higher 14s or higher kind of numbers, which is familiar to people with Dungeons and Dragons. You got your strength, dexterity, constitution, intelligence, wisdom, and charisma. You have a place for a background, which is a card. You have a place for your class, which is also a card, and then you have your alignment, which is another little card. So a lot of cards of various sizes in this game. So they're not all the same size. But most of them are either one size, which is the larger size, or a smaller size. And the monsters also have, which came with the expansion, their own cards, which are, again, a different size, almost like a tarot size. So if you're buying sleeves for this game, you're going to be buying a lot of different sizes
different
of sleeves.
Sizes, yeah.
Yeah. The boards have around them some areas for keeping track of traits that you can get, skills, and also equipment. So you can hold on to equipment. There are some limitations with equipment. You can have pretty much any as much weapons as you can get. Armor, you're limited to one of each type of armor. So like a helmet, chest piece, leggings, that kind of thing. So, but that's like the main rule when it comes to equipment. I think that one with the hands, with the weapons, you can only have up to two hands worth of stuff. So you can have a two-handed weapon or two one-handed things for that part. Then you have a backpack where you can hold other things as well, which go in the backpack area. So that's, and so the components are good quality components, nice cards, nice cardboard for everything. If you get into this game and you really like it, there's a roller, like a neoprene mat, which is nice. It mainly just keeps things organized in the center of the table, so it's not required, but it does give you a nice air. It helps it with picking up cards a lot, especially if you have a flat, slick table. It can be hard to pick up cards quite often, so a neoprene mat helps with that. There's a lot of dice, mostly dice. So you get this bag full of dice, and what you're doing is you're pulling dice each round, setting them up in an initiative order in the middle of the table. Based on the number of players, there'll be one extra initiative card over the number of players there are. So if you have a four-player game, there'll be five cards out. The first and last card for initiative have no coins on it, and then the middle cards will have a coin on them usually. Being an incentive to try to get those middle ones out. You'll get a gold at the same time. Everyone starts with some dice. Depending on the number of players, you'll start with, I think with a four-player game, you start with eight dice. So you'll grab eight dice, roll them, and then place them on your character board for your starting stats. And then you'll be building your stats on later from that. Everybody will get an initiative card. Not initiative card, an alignment card, a class card, and a background card. Those will give you different goals throughout the game to try to meet, to try to maximize your points. And the game is just basically, and there's a market in the center of the table as well. So you'll have each round the market get refilled, depending on the number of players, how many cards you put out will be out there. The market's where you purchase things like equipment, skills you can use, and traits you can have, and the skills and traits will affect things like your alignment. So depending on what you buy, your alignment card has a little cube on it, and it's like a 3x3 hex grid, or not hex grid, square grid. And every time you use a skill or buy a trait, it'll move the little cube on that card in a certain direction. And you're trying to get your alignment card to get to the best points you can for whatever your alignment should be. So if you're lawful neutral, you want to get it in a certain location on the alignment card to get the most points. Everybody at the beginning of the game is randomly taking a die out of the bag, and the color of the die will determine your starting class. If somebody already has a class of that color, you'll put the dice away to the side and keep drawing until you get something that hasn't been pulled yet. So there's about five or six main colors. Each color has a class associated with it. And then there's actually eight colors. All of them have classes, but at the most you can have up to six in use at a time, five or six at a time, leaving a couple colors that aren't in use, which will help you determine what your end monster will be. The end monster is going to be of a color that isn't in use by a player. And then with their expansions, you get a few extra types of dice as well. You get clear dice, which get added to the bag. They work just like the regular stat dice, except they have higher numbers. They start at 3 and end at 8, instead of starting at 1 and ending at 6. So it's a way to get better stats on your character without, but they won't necessarily fulfill certain objectives you might have with your character. So with your class and your stat, your background card, your class is going to want you to get your stats to a point. Each stat will have to be within either a certain range or an exact number to meet its goals to get points for it at the end of the game. And so when you're drafting dice or and using them towards your character, you're really cognizant of what the numbers are and where the colors go, because your background will have you wanting to have certain colors of dice at certain positions on your board. And the more of those you meet, the more points you get at the game. So it's all about really maximizing. It's a min-max kind of game. You're trying to make the best character possible and meeting all of your goals to get the most points you can. To do this, each round, when you get a die, depending on where you place it on your board, each stat gives you a special thing you can do where you can manipulate dice. Strength allows you to take a die on the board on your board and flip it to the opposite side. So a 1 becomes a 6, a 2 becomes a 5, etc. Dexterity allows you to swap two dice around on the board. They have to go from the same position to this, you know, wherever the dice are, they just exactly swap where they were. Constitution allows you to, I think it's like increase a die. Yeah, increase a die or decrease a die by 1 pip. So a 5 becomes a 6, etc. They don't wrap. So a 1 can't become a 6, and a 6, I don't believe, become a 1. But with those big dice, that can really help you get your stats up there if you have a stat you need to get really high with those clear dice. Intelligence allows you to re-roll dice. So you can take a die and re-roll it, I believe. And then Wisdom allowed you to...
move your alignment, wasn't it?
Yes. Every time you put a dice in a Wisdom, you could adjust your alignment position by 1. Up, down, left, or right. And then the last one is Charisma. Whenever you put a die in Charisma, you would get a token which can be used as a discount that round, only that round. It can be used in the market. It can be used for hiring mercenaries when you're fighting minions or the main monster. But that it gives you a $1 discount for each of those tokens that you have from your Charisma. So those six attributes will allow you to play around with the dice to try to maximize and get your scores where you need them to be. Each round, everyone's taking from this, whoever's turn it is will take number of dice from the bag that are required to fill the initiative cards. They'll roll them, they'll place them on those cards from lowest number to highest number, and then people start choosing from there. And then based on that initiative order, people will then buy stuff from the market, or they will take on minions. So beside the market is a minion deck. It'll have a card flipped up face up. You can spend money to avoid that card, or you can, if you decide you want to take on a minion, but you can either in your turn buy a card from the market, you can discard a card from the market for money, or you can take on a minion. I think there was one other thing. Market. Buy a market card, gain 2 gold by discarding a card from the market, or go on a hunt and battle a minion. So those are the 3 main things you can do on your turn. This goes, so everybody gets a turn each round. And this goes, the number of rounds is determined by how many players there are, but how it basically goes on until everybody's player board is full of dice, because each attribute takes 3 dice to fill up. There's 6 attributes, so at the end you have to have like 18 dice on your board. Is that right? What's that?
No, you're right. Yeah.
18 dice. You start with 8 in a 4-player game, so that means you're taking about 10 turns. When you're taking on minions, what you're doing is each minion will have a thing on it. And there's different levels of minions and in markets, too. You start with the level 1 cards, and then eventually you'll get to the level 2 cards. And so things get better as you progress and or harder to defeat. With minions, when you're taking them on, they'll have a thing about you always start with like 1 die. So you have these combat dice that are off to the side of the game. They're not in the bag. You always start with 1 dice. And then you'll get bonus dice based on different conditions. It might be you'll get a bonus dice for every blue die on your player board. So if you're a blue player, that could be really beneficial for you to take on that monster, because you're trying to get as many blue dice as you can. So you get bonus dice based on the condition on the minion. You can hire mercenaries, and I think you can use experience that you get for fighting minions, or you can use gold to buy mercenaries, which are just more dice. So you're just getting additional dice to roll. Once you have the number of dice that you're going to roll determined, you'll roll them, add all the pips together, and on the minion card, it'll tell you what you'll get. If usually it's like 1 to 5, you might get one experience, but you might also take a wound. Like 6 to 8, it could be you'll get an experience and may or may not get a trophy. And then 9+, you'll get a trophy, maybe 2, and maybe some extra experience for it. If you get a trophy, that card stays with you. And every time you get a trophy from taking on a minion, you can look at one of the 3 cards associated with the monster for end game. Each end game monster has 3 different things: a location, an objective, and location, an obstacle, and an attack. It's 3 different cards. They're random for each monster. And you look at them in order. So if you get a trophy from a minion, you can look at the first thing you haven't looked at, which will be location for everybody. And only you get to look at it. And it's a special end game thing, which will give you bonus dice. Once you've seen it and you get a little token showing that you've seen it, you'll be able to use that condition at the end of the game, assuming you can. Sometimes the conditions might be something that you can't meet, but it's something to help you strive for. The more of those conditions you can meet, the better chance you'll have more dice against the end monster at the end of the game. But you don't have to see any of them, and still you can roll against the monster. You'll just have a less of a chance of getting to the higher numbers that you'll need for extra points. Once you've gone through the number of rounds equal to the number of dice that you might need, then you go to the end game where everyone goes against the main monster. And you'll get, again, the monster will have a condition that will give you extra dice. You can buy mercenaries to get more dice. And then if you meet the different location, location obstacle attack conditions, you'll get dice from that. You'll roll all your dice, add them all up, and the end monster has like a minimum number to meet. If you meet that minimum number, then you've contributed to defeating that monster. You will get some additional points out of it at least, but the higher you do, the more points you'll get. And then after that, everybody adds up all of their stars or points from all the different things on their board. One thing I didn't mention, depending on your class color, you'll get additional points at the end of the game if you have dice of that color on your board as well. So you're trying to get more dice based on your class. Like rogues are black, so the more black dice you have at the end of the game, the more points you get for that. But that's one other thing they'll give you points at the game. But at the end of the game, you're adding up all your points, and whoever has the most points is the winner. So that's role player. So yeah, we played both of these games a couple weeks ago. I played them both a few times before that. But this was, I think, Jeff had
first
played,
time for role player, but
you'd played Lost Legends once before, yeah, but it was Legends. First time for role player for both of you.
Yeah.
So, Lost Legends, what do you guys think? I think it's an okay game, but it does have issues.
I feel like the monsters were just meant to crush you early.
They could be very...
Particularly that first level, like you went out before you had any chance of doing anything. Yeah. And then after that, there was no catching up.
There's no real catch-up mechanic. Like the gold being split between people does help, because if the people, as long as the people next to you are doing really well and getting high-valued monsters that they defeat, you can get quite a bit of gold. And that's on the first round. I went out, my character was terrible. I went out on each 3 rounds. I usually defeated my first monster, but then the second monster came along and I had nothing, and I just got wasted.
And I think that came in mostly because of disparity in character.
Yeah.
Like the game's based off of health. Mana is kind of, it's useful, not important.
It could be, it depends on your character.
But health.
Yeah, it was good for mine.
Yeah, because you had the wizard.
Yeah.
But like the health mechanic, if you can't survive even one hit, you...
Yeah. If you can't mitigate a hit or like a couple of hits, then yeah. And I took the Ranger. I figured, okay, well, a Ranger would be sort of a good mix between, you know, magic and melee. But yeah, I really suffered for it in the health. And
you got one extra gold over the rest of us.
Yeah, I got one extra gold. And it's like, yay.
Yeah, it wasn't enough of a compensation.
Never take gold as the compensation.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't... and I had a couple decent skills. One thing I didn't explain in the rules part. So the skills, whenever you draft a card, it goes into your tableau or whatever. There's various things you can do. You can choose, instead of putting it in your tableau, you can draft a card to put in your skills area. So instead of paying for the card, because each card costs gold, you can instead take that card, put it in your skills area, and I think you get a gold for that. Now I think about it, you get one or two gold depending on the level of the dungeon you're going into. You'll get more gold as you go up, but those skills will help you with some of your cards later on, because they'll make things more powerful.
So what it comes down to is essentially luck of the draw. There's luck a lot of your draft luck.
Yeah,
because you weren't weak because necessarily the way you started. You were weak because you didn't get the items you needed as well.
Yeah.
As we drafted our equipment for the first round.
True.
I mean, I didn't think that was so bad. I think the root of it was just that the monsters were overpowered.
Yes.
There were some, yeah, because so you did get a range of monsters in each level. And yeah, there were some that were like, okay, not too bad, fairly easy to defeat. But then there were some that were like way harder than...
Oh, yeah. Like they hit you too fast,
yeah,
too hard.
Yeah.
So if there was a way to mitigate that by just, you know, reducing the power of the...
Well, so like the too many half this type of damage type stuff, where in first level, you're probably stuck with one, maybe, if you're lucky, got two weapons.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, you pull the wrong monster and you're just dead.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the damage type appropriate, and they can do so much damage to you. And you only start with like 3 health and they're doing like 4 or 5. You don't really have armor.
Yeah, and you're trying to, if you don't have any armor to mitigate some of that damage.
And armor is specific to the type healing of damage. Items.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, there's a lot of... The monsters were meant to be exceptionally challenging, and I think it was just a little over the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. True. And one thing I didn't talk about too much, there's like spells and stuff that everybody can get. They do quite often cost mana, but if you have them, then you can use them to help you boost your attack. And that's usually what I had, is I would have something that I could use to boost my attack and defeat my first monster. But then I've already used it. You don't get to reuse it until
the next
level. Mm-hmm. So any other monsters that come at me this level, I'm sort of just stuck with my base weapons. And it's like, oh, well.
Well, then I can't the pass mechanic, you know, where it's like I draw a card and I'm like, well, this thing's going to kill me. So I'm just going to give it to Randall instead.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and now it's in front of you and you have to fight it. Like, you don't have a choice. You have to take that hit before you can pass it.
Yeah, it's true. You have to take at least one hit, I think. Yeah, and then you have next time around you could choose to pass it, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Like if it starts in front of you, you're kind of screwed. If you're pulling it, it's like, I just encountered a dragon. Well, I don't think I could take a dragon, so I'm just going to give it to the next person down the line.
Yeah.
It doesn't really sit well with me that you just kind of screw someone else's day by...
Well, I mean, I guess
I found
this,
but it's yours.
This yeah. one's... This isn't cooperative.
No,
so
this wasn't cooperative at all.
That can be really handy.
Yeah, no, and that's true. It is. It's not. Neither of these games are cooperative games. They are. You're out against everyone else, kind of.
But yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious, like a couple times that, I mean, yeah, Randall got a little bit behind and just couldn't catch up.
Yeah,
and then was out early every single round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so. You know, so I never like a game. Yeah, I never like a game that you're just sitting there waiting for everybody else to finish.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like I said, I think they could mitigate a lot of this by, you know, somehow toning down these
how much
these
damage
monsters.
They do, the amount of half damaged creatures at first level.
Yeah, and I mean
stuff like that.
In some cases, we're running into monsters that are completely immune. There was nothing you could possibly do to this thing.
Unless you had this one magic type or one melee type thing.
Well, yeah, and where I ran into that was, I think in essentially the last round, but, you know, again, yeah, I have to take at least one hit, but then, you know, Marcus has something in front of him, so I can't pass it to him. I mean, it was just, well,
you can pass a monster. So if you start with a monster in front of you, you can pass it. But if everyone else already has monsters, you can't.
Yeah, then you're stuck.
That was kind of the thing. And
but you also have to take that hit.
No, you only have to take it. So when you start your round, if there's a monster in front of you, you can choose to either attack it or pass it. So you don't have to take a hit. But then you have to take another monster, either the face-up one or a random one from the top.
And then fight it no matter
what.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So that's the thing. So you might get something worse.
So well, or exactly the
or
same.
Or exactly the same.
That happened twice.
That happened quite often. Yeah.
The exact same monster twice.
Yeah. So I was like, great, I got rid of him to get the exact same monster again. It's like, awesome.
Yeah, I think actually that's what it was, because I was passing a dragon and got the exact same one.
Yeah, and that happened to me a few times too, where I passed something. It's like, oh, great, here's the same thing again. Hydra, I think it was a couple times. Yeah. So,
but
yeah.
I mean, otherwise, yeah, I just think it really all came down to the monsters being overpowered. I think there was a lot in the game that I did actually quite like.
And it's not that I didn't have any fun either. It was, you know, sure, there's a little frustrating that I kept getting knocked out each round, but it was interesting at least. And there's this whole mechanic on the first person to defeat a type of monster will get. There's different challenge tokens you can get. So if you defeat a certain type of monster, you'll get a challenge token for defeating that type of monster. There's also tokens that you can get once you've reached certain goals. So once you've got three types of a certain monster, you'll get that token. And then there's multiples of each type, and then they go down in points. So the first person to do it gets more points.
Neat mechanic, but again, you are essentially eliminated from competing for those.
Yes.
Because of the way the game played out.
There's a good chance that somebody in the group is not going to... And there's a big disparity in points in this game. So, yeah, I had, like, there was no, I wasn't even close. And then the other people, I think the rest of you were not too far off of each other.
Yeah, I think we were all pretty close.
Yeah, it was pretty
close. It was just, don't take the ranger.
Yeah. Well, anything with only,
two health. It was, really low health and, not enough compensation.
Most of the monsters, if they weren't doing at least two damage through your defenses at first level.
Yeah.
Were immune to stuff, so you couldn't hurt them anyways.
Yeah, I can't remember, but I think even the wizard started with more health than that.
It's possible.
I think I want to say I started with three.
Most of us started with three.
I think it was probably three, but you had more mana. Yeah. And I had okay mana, but really, really poor health. Yeah.
But you got that extra gold.
But I got that extra gold.
Yeah.
That did it.
Yeah, don't spend that all in one place.
Yeah. And then to compare with that, but this game is also a lot more focused on the monster combat. It's about gearing up your character and then taking on those monsters. Then going over to role player, it's a lot more focused on building up your character.
Yeah,
with the expansion, getting some little monster action in there.
Yeah, the game really captures the meta of D&D.
Yeah.
You know, like the actual building your character and like even the min-maxing.
Yeah.
You know? And
trying to get as high as possible on your stats. But it's kind of cool that with the class cards, you know, you're not trying to get 18s in everything. Sometimes you're trying to get, like, I need to have a 14 in strength, even though I'm a wizard, but I need to have my intelligence up at 18 or 19 or something. Sometimes it could be a range, like 17 to 18, or sometimes it has to be, you have to get to an exact number.
Exact on, yep.
Yeah. Which is where the challenge is. You're trying to really manipulate your dice to...
Well, matching the right color on the right
in the right spots for your background. Yeah, like you need to have a red die in the second spot of your strength. And you need to have like a blue die in the third spot of your charisma. That kind of thing. So each attribute will need to have a certain color of die in a specific spot to get the extra points at the end of the game for your background. Mm-hmm. And each one tells a bit of a story. Your background will say, oh, I'm a scoundrel... wizard, and I'm lawful, whatever, neutral or something. Like when you all sort of build it together, there's a little bit of a story with your character that sort of builds out, which is kind of cool. What else was I thinking of? So yeah, you're basically manipulating your dice. You're trying to get them to, you know, best possible you can. But then you're getting stuff from the market. There's different sets. So like if you're getting armor, if you can get more of a particular type of armor that works for your character. And some classes will get a bonus on certain types of armor. So, like, if you're a thief, you'll get a bonus if you can get the leather set. And the more of a set you can get, the more points you'll get, which is an interesting mechanic.
And there was, with the expansion, there was multiple ways to put this together. Like, yep. I didn't fight a lot of minions. I focused more on getting equipment and stuff like that. So when it came to fighting the end monster, I only rolled, I think, 2 dice. I was lucky enough to get some points from it still.
Yeah, but you met the minimum or whatever it was. Yeah.
So I got some points from it, but the rest of the time I spent getting, like, the perfect equipment. Like, I think I had almost all of the armor set for my class.
Which added quite a bit of points.
Yeah. And then I had all, like, my dice in the exact right spot and stuff like that, because I was picking up the traits and stuff that allowed me to do that. But the people like Marcus, who just solely focused on trying to get to
the monster
at the end, was fighting minions and stuff. And, I mean, it came down to the final dice roll.
Yeah, it was close, because we were all fairly close in points. Yeah.
Ahead of him, and I think he was only a point ahead of Drew or something like that.
It was all really tight. Yeah, and one thing with the fighting the minions, which can also make a big difference for if you focus on minions, is you get the experience, and experience is represented by little blue cubes. You can spend that experience for different things. You can, I mentioned before, you can hire mercenaries, but you can also use if you can get like 4 experience or 4 or 5 experience. I think it's 5.
5.
You can duplicate one of the dice manipulation things. So spend 5 experience, you could do the strength dice manipulation where you can flip a die. That's another way of helping you get to your stats to the where they need to be. And another thing I didn't mention, those stats have to meet those numbers, including any racial modifiers you might have, because each race has like something where, you know, you have like +2 intelligence and -2 dex or something like that, depending on your race. So you have to get your stats in their range, taking into account any racial modifiers you have, which is kind of cool too, that they added that in there. Yeah.
It's tough, because, you know, I thought there was a lot of, a lot of different things that you could try to manipulate to get your points. It's like this game is point salad.
That's what it is. Yeah, it's all about getting the points, yeah.
And, yeah, loads of different ways to do that, whether it's through the marketplace, fighting minions. I think after playing it just a couple times, though, I didn't like how fiddly it was, like that there was much to try to coordinate. And
it's a very much, yeah. You're really trying to, yeah. You're
like, you need a red die in the second die slot on the first strength stat, and then you need a pink die on the third one.
Well, I'll be honest, it was that was maybe the easiest part of that.
Sure.
But then still get the number.
Constantly manipulating to get the correct numbers in the right spots and things. So I felt like there was so much attention being paid to that part of the game, you know, trying to balance out your, the dice point values for your attribute, and you know, like placing dice in the right spot so as to make sure that you had the correct attribute, like the little activity that comes along with it. I need to keep that one freed because I'm going to need to move these 2 dice later. It gets kind of fiddly with manipulating those dice.
And that's where really the expansion sort of comes in. It helps you do something a little bit more than just that, even though the expansion's sort of leading into it a bit more too with the experience. Without the expansion, all you're doing is making that character and fiddling with the dice
You're just rolling dice and putting them on a board.
Yeah.
And trying to manipulate them.
When I first saw this game, people playing it, I was like, okay, you're building a character, then what? That was my whole, in my mind, that was it. It was like, this is just about making the character. And like, well, then what do you do with it? Nothing.
Yeah.
At least the expansion gives you the little extra that you take based on the colors of dice on your board. You'll get bonus dice against the minions and that kind of thing. So it gives you some more dice rolling you can do, which is always fun, and some extra things you can get out of it. I think if you're going to get this game, you really do need to get the expansion just to make it a bit more than just making a character.
But then I also didn't like the end monster, like the flipping of the cards so that you knew a bonus against fighting.
So you can get
him,
a bonus
right?
out of
yeah,
that.
Was
it
so location?
The fact that you could reveal that bonus seemed
obstacle.
Like more than enough of a reward, because you could work towards doing it if that was your goal. To not give it to the people who didn't know what it was just because they didn't know what it was kind of seemed like that seemed kind of silly. It's like, oh, you have green dice, but you don't get to use more combat dice because of those green dice against this because
they should've made it.
You didn't know.
Yeah, that's only, I could see that. And I thought when they first played through that, if you didn't get to look at the cards, you should have still had the ability to take advantage of them.
Yeah.
Just, it would have been a crapshoot whether or not you could.
Right.
And that, you know, that's part of that mechanic too. It was, you know, like I in that last game, I was, you know, able to look at the cards, but none of them really gave me an advantage. Yeah. They, like, it was all geared towards Marcus's stuff.
Yeah, Marcus really paid off.
He had the right color. He had the right, you know, whatever. Yeah. And so, you know, I like to go, oh, okay, and well,
that's
now
why
I know
up.
This, but I don't.
It's
know,
not going to help you.
Yeah,
much,
this
yeah.
isn't going to help me at all. So
I looked at the first.
The
one.
Location, I think it was, yeah.
I may have looked at the second one.
We all had looked at location because we had it flipped up.
Yeah, but after that, I was like, neither of these can I work towards, so I'm just going to focus on my own character and not really worry about the monster at this point because I don't see this as beneficial to try and get this, especially since the color of dice that you get is luck-based, essentially. Like, I might want red dice because I'm the fighter class, but if everyone else picks the red dice before I get to pick it, then I'm not going to get any red dice and stuff like that. Like it really comes down to what you're pulling, and there's probably more points in you worrying about getting the right color of dice for your character with the right die color and the specific placements on each stat than there is in that extra die against the monster.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's nice that this game does have that. There's multiple ways you can go to try to win the game. You don't have to, like, you can, like you said, you looked at the first location card and maybe the second card, and it's like, well, I have a very little chance of doing this, and I'm just going to focus on getting as much points as I can out of the market and building my character. Whereas, you know, I was working a bit more towards the monster. Marcus definitely towards the monster.
Yep.
But even that way, we're all doing our own little things. The game was still fairly close, so you can ignore something and still do all right.
Yeah.
You know, which is kind of,
and then there's
cool.
There's also, because of the way you put equipment into the marketplace, there's a chance that your class won't see their armor set.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah.
Like that, well, interesting, kind of annoying.
Yeah. A little bit.
Like, you should have the opportunity to get the same amount of points as any other person in the game, not just, oh, well, your stuff didn't make it into this game, sorry.
Yeah.
Someone else is getting this.
Yeah. I was able to actually complete my set, which was only 3 pieces, and yours was 5. But
there was one piece missing.
But there was a piece like that was never going to be seen.
And I think there was part of the rogue set wasn't in there.
That's possible.
And at least if you kind of knew that was never going to come up, like you knew which cards got removed.
Yeah, because there are, like, when you're setting the game up, there are some cards being removed, so it may not be exactly the same every round, so you don't know what could be missing.
And well, another class can take that armor. Like, I don't have to wear the red set. I can wear the green set.
Yep.
It just, I don't get bonus points, so it's not worth as much.
Or you may not get as many. Like, if you're working on two different sets of armor, you know, you won't get as many points as if you're working on a single set and getting all the cards.
Yeah, because at the end, I think it took a piece of the set that Marcus wanted or something like that. Or no, we've shared the same. It was
You guys were going after the same.
Yeah, we were
going
after the same set.
Same color anyway.
And it was someone else's color that I didn't, like, he had that piece of equipment of the red, so I put that piece of equipment on in a different color because, well, I guess, why not? It's worth some points.
It's always worth some points,
But it would have been nice to have the option for every armor set to be able to be completed. You know it's going to be there or not.
Right.
Yep.
And then it's kind of cool. There's also, like, with skills and traits you get, there are even ways you can manipulate things. Manipulate. I can talk. By even being able, like, the skills, there's some skills that let you, I think especially for thieves, but I don't know if it mattered who you were. It affects your alignment in certain ways, though, that allow you to go into, like, the discards and get pieces of equipment that you might have missed out on.
Yeah, it was actually the party game I was kind of disappointed in, because it would have been nice to to use those cards a bit more, but
right.
you'd shift your alignment, and you know, like let's say you've backed your alignment into a corner, you need to find some way to get it out of there in order to use those cards again.
Yeah, because once you've shifted the alignment to a certain point, if a card would make you move your alignment that there's nowhere to go to, you can't use it anymore until you've fixed that.
So
that's what your wisdom is good for, though, too, helping you move your alignment so you can reuse the cards.
Any stat, you only have three uses of it, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, with experience, though, you can also...
Yeah,
but it was a lot of, like, I think, too much effort to try to shift your alignment around in order to use, you know, some of those traits, which was really disappointing.
Yeah, I didn't use them because of that.
Like the experience... You're absolutely right. I can use this in order to shift the alignment so I can use that card one more time, kind of thing.
Right.
But you know, the experience dice were worth so much more, you know, in using the attribute manipulation.
I think the only non-equipment thing I grabbed from the marketplace was just straight up points. It gave me like so many points for picking it. It didn't move anything. But I stayed away from the traits and stuff because I had my alignment where I wanted it. It was...
Well, that's it too. Once you get it, You might be able to use that trait, but you might not be able to get your alignment back to where it needs to be.
Because I already used my wisdom.
Yeah, some of the manipulation things, like you're taking a chance. I want to really use a skill. Do I think I can get my alignment back where I need it? Well, hopefully.
Then, chances are no. it's flat.
Well,
but it's such that, like, when you're looking at the end scores here, Drew and I both had 35 points, Marcus had 36, and you had 37.
Yeah.
Like that's how tight it was.
Yeah, that's pretty tight. Yeah,
because I think we were all right on or just off like the ideal character.
Yeah,
it was like really close.
As fiddly as it was, that it wasn't an impossible goal. We were all really close or achieved our perfect character setup. Yeah. So
in both of the last games I played, I was able to get my character card exactly right both times.
Yeah.
So it's not extremely difficult to do that. It's just you have to kind of plan. And know that while I'm waiting for this die, and I'll use my, like, because each class had their own special power that activated when you did certain things.
Yeah.
So it was fiddly, but it wasn't hard to do the character building aspect.
Yeah.
So without the minions, I don't see this as much of a game because.
And I saw that too when I was seeing it and people playing it. It's like, okay, it does always, maybe it's just me. Yeah, okay, great. I'm making a character, and then I got that character. Great.
And for every person who's playing, just roll an extra die and add it together, and whoever gets the highest score is a winner. That's essentially what it'll come down to.
Yeah.
If it's just the character building aspect, you might as well just, you know, play dice and see who gets the highest score.
Yeah. But people seem to like it, and I did enjoy it too, but I think having that extra little bit just helps add to it. So it's like the two games are very opposite. You got one, which is, you know, you get to build your character, but you're going out to fight monsters. And the other one, it's you're making your character. And, okay, you can also fight some monsters. It's like they're the opposites of the extremes for each. Mm-hmm. But which one makes a better game? So that's, I guess, what we have to figure out now. Out of the two, like, I think just due to how unbalanced the other one can be, like Lost Legends can be, I have to give it to Role Player just because... I enjoyed both games, but I got more out of Role Player with the expansion. It just felt more of a, like, everybody had a chance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was no, you can see by our scores, and even both games that we played, that I played with Drew, the scores were close in all these games. This is a game where it's going to come right down to that niddling little point. So that's, I think, a fairly well-designed game. It could go to anybody. There's no one person's going to like dominate. It doesn't feel like, anyways.
You can't have an impact on the other players in that one. It's competitive, it's competitive in the sense of if I take this die, he can't get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is you are thinking like, yeah, I need that color die, but then he needs that color die. I could live without my die, and maybe I want that number. You know, where just because I want to go a bit further.
Maybe first I'll take this really quick initiative to grab that armor set that he wants.
Yeah, exactly. What's coming out in the market.
Off, right? Yeah.
Or to burn stuff out of the market. But those are really the only take that.
But
kind
you,
of
you, you can't no, take yeah. a person out of the game.
No, you can mess up their strategy a little bit. But
where, like I essentially took you out of the game in the first in Legends.
Oh, Legends!
Because
yeah.
I passed you a monster you couldn't deal with, and you couldn't pass it off.
Yeah,
and dying that early in the first round, it sucks to have a game where there's someone not participating essentially yeah. for yeah. a
even if it is
a
competitive game.
Yeah,
still...
you want everyone to be engaged still, yeah. not just yeah. sitting there watching.
Yeah, yeah, I want to like Lost Legends more. I,
mm-hmm. So do I. But yeah.
if
I
it
can't.
Was if it was more balanced, it would be I think the better game.
Yeah. And if there was something to do once you got knocked out and there was a way to recover
yeah. Oh, yeah.
in the, between
yeah.
dungeons.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Or even
yeah, if, nobody should be just sitting there watching the rest
no.
of the people playing.
Even
yeah.
if there was a way to reuse items or something, like in you know between monster fights.
Well, that's what certain artifacts were for.
Yeah, it's true. There were artifacts that let you untap stuff.
But
you had to
again,
be able to get them.
Drafting.
Yeah.
It, mm-hmm. There's too much
randomness yeah.
for that. So I have to go with role player as well because yep. it just you can't have a game where the players are not participating mm-hmm. for that period of time. It just if it was quick, if it's like a round is a minute, you get knocked out and you're back in, it wouldn't be as bad. But when you're sitting there for probably 5-10 minutes,
it could be
on how
easily.
Much thinking needs to be gone into each monster fight. It yeah, I have to go with role player for that.
Okay. Agreed.
Okay, well, there we go. I think it's unanimous. Role player is our winner. Now it's going to be the Christmas season. It's coming up real quick. So now you might be thinking of board games, giving out board games, but you know it might depend on who you're giving your games to, who you're thinking of. There's a lot of good entry level games, which you know most people will recommend. Obviously, there's going to be your Catans, is going to be your Ticket to Ride.
Well, that, to ride there's many versions of them. So
there's many versions of them. They're true. There's like multiple versions of Ticket to Ride. So you can give out a version to very different people you know and yeah. still not be done. But there, hopefully we can come up with some other ideas for you as well. I don't know if you guys really done much thinking about this since I came up with the
yeah.
topic.
Yeah, I think if you know, like, ultimately, I think it's either you know the, you know what kind of games a person likes already,
would enjoy. Yeah,
you know, so if you know if I was buying one for Randall, you know, and I had access to his already huge
extensive
library
list.
and could find you know oh he's you know he's missing a couple of these Euros.
Yeah,
you know. Mm-hmm. Randall's quite into Euros and you know in some cases very specific ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you know some people like that it's very easy to buy for.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, what if Randall had all of those games?
What would be a good alternative?
Yeah.
Maybe? Yeah,
or you don't know what kind of games people are into, and that's where it can really get sketchy. But
yeah, like what's a bit more open for some people in the masses, I guess. As opposed,
or,
yeah,
and or you're not quite sure, so you want games that are easily consumed and possibly in a group.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in those kind of scenarios, I was thinking of those little exit games, right? I think those are
escape room games. Yeah,
they're quick, they're cooperative, they're very inexpensive. You don't have to you know invest like $70 mm-hmm. to $80 in a game only to find out they were like, well, I'm not really into board games anyway.
Right
thing.
Yeah, and it might get the person thinking about okay, I guess they might have an issue with the one time play and that's it kind of ideal.
Yep.
But they're cheap enough that you know you give them that as a gift and they'll say, oh, that was fun. I want to. Is yep. there more of these? And they'll go to their local shop and then they'll start maybe digging into it and they'll get all these different ones you can get. There's ones that are replayable, which yep. we know from the unlocked ones, regardless of what issues we might have had with it. But there's other types out there too that are replayable.
And if you really like the puzzle solving as yep. you know as a group, then you know possibly getting into Time Stories,
mm-hmm. the big story ones,
yeah.
those same along the same kind of lines. That's true.
And I mean yeah. once you own the you know essentially the console game, the expansions for Time Story are not very expensive.
No, they're not. No, they're not bad at all. Yeah.
So
yeah, they're very affordable. I was also thinking of the. And it gets it all comes down to your market, the person you're buying for again. It always comes down to what do they like? Everybody has something. Maybe they really like Game of Thrones. So if in that fan, you know, they may not be big fantasy people normally, but they really like Game of Thrones. So is there something that you could tie into that? But finding out what their thing is, that might not be the normal thing you'd think that they would go for. I think the Tiny Epic line, like, you could probably find something in that line, and they're inexpensive and they're small, and they're all fairly fun games. Like, there's only been one or two that I haven't played. But all the ones I have played, I've enjoyed. So you might be able to find something that you could get, you know, in that line, again, that you could give to somebody. It might be a good stocking stuffer. You could probably find some theme that they might latch onto and have fun with, whether it be zombies, whether it be Western, or a fantasy theme or whatever, what have you. I think there would be some good gems out of that, for sure.
For me, I was thinking, like, for people who don't normally, you know, do a lot of stuff outside of, you know, typical card games, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, you have games like Flux, for instance,
mm-hmm.
where it's a twist on just, you know, playing with simple deck of cards. The rules come out as you play. There's no real setup or anything. So it's That's quick true. To get going.
Yeah.
And the rules just kind of flow as you play the game. So yeah. It's easy to understand, quick to get into, and has that feel like you're playing with cards, like, you know, if you're playing Hand and Foot Canasta or, you know, any mm-hmm. other type of card game that is normal.
Yeah, they, true.
Then you have all the, like, silly ones, if you know the person's more thematic, like, knows fantasy and stuff. You have, the Munchkin line. And yeah. you can start with, like, something like zombies and have it very specific genre, or you can just go with a generic start of Munchkins, and mm-hmm. there's mm-hmm. tons of expansions for Munchkins yes, to go
Munchkin
on with
has
that.
Tons of expansions that people fall into. But even going back to Flux, there's so many themes of Flux yes, that you can get yes, into,
exactly.
too. If you know somebody who loves, like, Wizard of Oz, there's an Oz yeah. Flux, which is really interesting. There's pirates. Yeah, there's zombies again. There's pirates. There's all these different versions of Flux, and they keep releasing more. So, but again,
and it adds that element of humor yep. to it. That, you know, it's more than just sitting serious, staring at cards, trying to figure something out. It's funny. It is meant to be competitive, but flowing and easy going, mm-hmm. not mm-hmm. you know, super serious.
Yeah,
so I like those ideas for people who might not be necessarily into board games and stuff heavily.
Yeah,
I think it's a good introduction.
And there's also those card games you can get into that are a bit more on the serious side too, for some people. Like, sometimes older people who like stuff like Bridge and Canasta yeah. can really gravitate to some of these other more serious little card games, like Dutch Blitz or I can't even think of them. There's like
Biblios,
yeah, those type of card games. There's quite a few good options there too. That really, like, there's a lot of set collection one. There's a lot of like the Rummy type too. There's the different types of Rummy ones where you're trying to get it's a set collection type games where you're really trying to get to certain things. Really appeals to certain people. Maybe of a certain age who are used to playing the older card games and play card games a lot throughout their lives. Giving them that little bit of something that's a little different can be really, really good. So those are, you know, some good options for you. But then there's always going to be more out there too.
Well, I mean, the options are limitless.
The options are limitless.
If you know the person you're buying for, if they're into games, it's a, there's so many different things out there to get from beginner to advanced for difficulty and stuff like that. And I mean, every single TV show that's of any popularity seems to have their own version of some game or not now.
Usually Monopoly.
Yeah, usually Monopoly.
Enough Monopoly. Please stop making Monopoly.
Yeah, Monopoly, yeah, there's too many versions of Monopoly, that's for sure. I know Monopoly gets a lot of hate, and a lot of people cut their
rightfully
teeth on Monopoly.
So.
Well, a lot of people cut their teeth rightfully on Monopoly. So. I played a lot of Monopoly as a kid because, you know, back then, you know, that's what we had. We had Monopoly. Yeah. We had the game of life.
I think Monopoly was the complex game of our childhood.
It was. But, you know, it's amazing. I'm sure when you look back, I'm sure we weren't playing it properly because if you actually read it, like the game won't take as long as you think it will if you're following the rules with property acquisition.
Yeah,
right. If a property, if you land on a property and you haven't, and you don't want to purchase it,
goes
up for auction. Which, you know, as a kid, I can guarantee
weren't doing that.
Yeah. So I think that's where a lot of the hate comes, in that the game, if you don't follow those rules, will take forever, and you'll just, and that's where the whole flip the table comes from. A game that never ends, that just grinds you till you're dead. So.
Wow, you've played Monopoly seriously.
That's right. That's the stakes.
And there's, you know, the other thing is there's loads of options out there. You know, some stuff that will actually fit in stockings and some stuff that maybe won't, but that can enhance games that people already have.
Mm-hmm.
So
if they're a gamer, definitely, yeah.
You know, like the Go 7 and Broken Token inserts can make the gameplay actually better.
Yeah, they'll improve setup quite often. Like with Role Player, it was a gift from my wife, and she went all out. She got me the expansion, but she also got me the insert, which I think was Miniature Market. I'm not sure who made it. It wasn't Go 7 or Broken Token. It was one of the other ones. But it makes it set up so much quicker because all the cards are already set up. You just grab the cards and go. You take all your monsters out and go. You have all your tokens in easy to use trays, ready to go. You don't have to fiddle with things too much. So a good insert can, and if you know that they really love the game, it's a game that they're not going to get rid of. Get them the insert. Yeah. You know, I'm sure they'll enjoy it. They'll love it, and it'll enhance the experience that much. Yeah,
yeah. There's you know, the other one I was thinking of was with the viticulture. Is you know, spring, you know, if you didn't get the deluxe version, you know, springing to get the metal coins,
yeah,
you know, things like that. There's those little things. I'd say card sleeves, but if you don't get the right size, there's nothing more frustrating than you know, I think, I'm going to start sleeving this game, and I go over to where I keep all my sleeves, and dang, I do not have the right the right Fantasy Flight color, Yeah, you know, and even when we were doing a lot of Imperial Assault, the line of sight laser was not really, like, that was not an expensive thing.
No, and it really enhanced
the game.
Yeah. Helping with am I cutting that edge or not? Yeah, having that straight line of sight laser so little accessories like that can make a big difference. And even the coins, going back to metal coins, there's quite a few games that have specific metal coins for those games, but there's also quite a few generic metal coins being put out nowadays that you can just buy a set of metal coins for somebody that can be used with any of their games. And so they don't have to keep them with a specific game. They could just use them with every game. And having those little metal coins to touch and play with, it enhances the experience again and just makes it a bit more tactile and give something to people to play with while they're waiting their turn and annoy the other people with their click, click, click.
Well, and the other one I was thinking of was replacing blocks with actual, you know, meeples.
Meeples, yeah.
So, you know, with Agricola, replacing that brown cube with, you know, an actual cow. Or a pig or whatever.
If you have, like, the version that just came with cubes, there's lots of different sets out now. Like, various companies have done different sets you can do to enhance, like, Agricola, Lords of Waterdeep, again, it's one that came with just cubes.
Yeah, with just cubes.
But now you can get I got it originally off of a forum, but now there's various companies doing little meeples that match the classes. So you get your wizard and your fighter.
You wouldn't believe how much of a difference that makes.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, I've played Lords of Waterdeep with people who aren't normal everyday game.
Yep.
Board players, and the cubes confused them. This is supposed to be a person
kind of thing. This is a rogue?
Yeah, like...
yes, black cube is a rogue.
Why am I picking up a black cube instead of a person?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
if you see the person, it's... you know what you're doing. It's a little more easier to understand that you're hiring people, things like that, like you're recruiting. So it can really enhance the game, not only for yourself, but to make it easier to visually for other people that you might want to play with to easily understand the concepts of the game quicker.
Yeah, and something like that also makes a good stocking stuffer for somebody. Say you're getting somebody Lords of Waterdeep, as an example. You could also get them those little meeples that work, because they're not usually too expensive. And you can throw them as a stocking stuffer and like, oh, great, I got this game. Oh, what's this for? Oh, this is for the game. Oh, cool, this will really improve it. And it might bring them more into it and then help them with the whole journey of going down, you know, into board games. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because yeah, there's upgrades for a lot of games. I think sure, like Meeple, was it Meeple Market or something like that?
Well, there's Meeple Source.
Meeple Source, that's it.
There's, what is it? The one they're always... Who sponsors? I don't use their name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'm not sure either. But Broken Token also sometimes releases stuff like that too. Yeah. Like they have add-ons for games that aren't just inserts, so they have quite a bit.
Well, depending on what you're going, you know, like if you're buying for somebody who plays a lot of board games and maybe some other, you know, like role playing games or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, another set of dice. Will always be appreciated.
If it's a dice
especially
game.
Especially when you're ready to throw your current dice across the room.
At some point, the set that you have will become cursed. And being able to switch to another set is awesome.
Yeah. So some days that one die isn't rolling for you, so you grab another one and it makes the difference. And so having multiple sets. Yep, multiple sets of dice are a thing.
Well, and Chess X they can even, be handy. You know, has those like those glass beads.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
They can use for resources. Sometimes,
yeah, resources
or
and
whatever.
Markers and you know those. I've actually bought a couple of those.
Yeah, those are actually really handy. Yeah,
come
absolutely.
In different colors.
And even things like this isn't it is sort of board game related. Tray like little cups for holding like the things for a game make a huge difference. Like I have I just went to the dollar store and there's a few different types you can get in a dollar store, but you get little stacking cups. And you bring them out for whatever game you're playing. If it has any kind of resources, instead of sticking them in the middle of the table, making a pile and making it really fiddly, you put them in a cup. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's easy to pass around. It's easy for people to get in there and pick one out.
It can make cleanup a lot
easier. It makes cleanup and setup a lot easier, just having little cups for games, for resources, and for money and stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a big difference. If you don't have an insert that's doing it for you, just having some cups on hand... Like little cups make a big difference. That's true.
Now you have something that I don't, but I'm interested in getting one. Mm. Is you actually have that bag for carrying around your board games, which is not meant for that.
No, it's true. And this was a big thing a little while ago, and a little while maybe a couple of years ago. In the forums, people were talking about these types of games. There's a musical instrument called a cajon. And it's like basically a bassy box that you sit on and tap on and just drum on. That's what it is. But there's these carrying bags you can get that are meant for these instruments that are the perfect size for board games. And there's a few different styles you can get. Now, there are like board games. Like nowadays, there are specific board game bags you can buy from stores. But they tend to be quite expensive. Mm-hmm. But as a good alternative... These cajon bags, and they do come in a couple of different sizes, they're quite often cheaper, like, and sometimes you can find them on sale, but they're cheaper usually, and they can generally hold like five or six game of a standard square box game. Now, when you have the odd size games, sure, they don't necessarily always work the best with those. But they do make a difference. Like they're great for instead of the standard IKEA bag, which is always helpful.
Yeah.
But they can be nice. They keep things organized. Mine has shoulder straps, so I can throw it over my shoulders if I want to. But it also has a bag on top for carrying them. So, yeah, look at something like that. They're called cajons. How do you spell that? I think it's like COJO something like that. But it's a strange name. But if you look up like a square bassy instrument, you should come across it. And there are companies that sell specifically carrying bags for these that you can, you know, varying prices. Sure, you can get expensive ones, mm-hmm. but like a basic one isn't usually too bad if you're too expensive. And if you know somebody who likes to carry their games around with them, it can make a good gift as well. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. Yep.
I think we're getting close to...
Well, the only last piece of advice I have for gift giving when you talk about board games is if you want to get like level 100 gift giving for board games is give stuff that you wouldn't mind yourself. Because if the person you're giving it to, you know, if they open it and there's that little flash of disappointment on their face, you can usually get it back from them.
Or, you know what, take it to a, do one of those gift exchanges. You know, there's always those gift exchanges where you steal presents. Sometimes you take something like that to a gift exchange.
You know you're getting it.
You may have a good chance of getting it back because they were like, I don't know what this is. I'm not interested in this game. Oh, I'll steal this. Yeah. It's a way of getting something for yourself without and still participating.
Yep.
Though if there's two board gamers in the group, then you could get screwed over.
Yeah, I think when I joined the company.
Yeah, I think I brought something, a board game, to a gift exchange once, and you ended up with it, which is great. I didn't mind that you ended up with
awesome.
It. Yeah,
it was awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad that somebody got it that would enjoy it. But I would have been just fine getting it too. But yeah, I think that's a good place to stop on. Hopefully we helped you a little bit or were entertaining in some way. But anyways, thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on our website at boardnowgaming.com, on Facebook, Twitter. We're on Reddit. You can subscribe to us. If you're not already getting us through one of these locations, you can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, CastBox, or Google Play. We have our guild on Board Game Geeks, so make sure you check us out on there and reach out to us. Let us know how we're doing. I'm going to be changing things up, not podcast-wise. The way I publish the podcast, we use Squarespace as our hoster. They're not a sponsor or anything, but that's who our hosting is. And they give us analytics. You know, it's just a generic analytics that they do. But recently, for some reason, it's not giving me stats anymore on RSS feeds and that kind of thing. And try to figure out how many people download this podcast can be quite difficult sometimes. So I found another way of publishing the podcast to the site that will hopefully give me back more numbers. It's something called pod check or something like that. I'll put a link to it on the site, because as part of using them to help publish the podcast, they give a survey that they would like people to fill out. So I'm going to put a link to the survey on the site, and hopefully if you hear this, you'll check out the survey. And it's more about just getting demographics, this survey. But if you take a few minutes out of your day just to fill this survey out, that could help them and help us just get, you know, a better idea of who's listening and how many people out there are listening. So please check out our website again, www.boardnowgaming.com. And at the bottom of the site, where I have links for the various places you can get the podcast and our various social media locations, I'm going to have a link to this survey. And if you could take some time out, just fill it out, that'd be great. And I'll see, it'll help me get a better idea of, you know, how many people are out there and downloading the show and listening. And that'd be great. It's hopefully we can use that to make the show better. Just give us some more info anyways. Until next time, thanks for listening and keep on gaming. Good day.
Bored now.
I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know, but I just really like it. I am hardly religious. I'd rather break bread with Dawkins than Desmond Tutu, to be honest. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to consumerism, to the commercialization of an ancient religion, to the westernization of a dead Palestinian press ganged into selling PlayStations and beer. But I still really like it. looking forward to Christmas, though I'm not expecting a visit from Jesus. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mom. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mom. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I don't go in for ancient wisdom. I don't believe just 'cause ideas are tenacious, it means that they're worthy. I get freaked out by churches. Some of the hymns that they sing have nice chords, but the lyrics are spooky. And yes, I have all of the usual objections to the miseducation of children who in tax-exempt institutions are taught to externalize blame and to feel ashamed and to judge things as plain right or wrong. But I quite like the song. Not expecting big presents. The old combination of socks, chocks, and chocolates is just fine by me. 'Cause I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mom. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. I'll be seeing my dad, my brother and sisters, my gran and my mom. They'll be drinking white wine in the sun. And you, my baby girl, my jet-lagged infant daughter, you'll be handed round the room like a puppy at a primary school. And you won't understand, but you will learn someday that wherever you are and whatever you face, these are the people who make you feel safe in this world. My sweet blue-eyed girl. And if my baby girl, when you're 21 or 31, and Christmas comes around, and you find yourself 9,000 miles from home, you'll know whatever comes. Your brother and sisters and me and your mom will be waiting for you in the sun whenever you come. Your brothers and sisters, your aunts and your uncles, your grandparents, cousins, and me and your mom will be waiting for you in the sun. Drinking white wine in the sun. Darling, when Christmas comes, we'll be waiting for you in the sun. Drinking white wine in the sun. Waiting for you in the sun. Waiting for you. Waiting. I really like Christmas. It's sentimental, I know.